Depending on if you put them all together, you got six or seven. Say six or seven. Six or seven specific things that are not lawful, they're against the law to do on the Sabbath, right? Six or seven. If you go and look right now, go follow the teaching, what Jesus said, the doctrines of men, what has been added to, there are now 39 things that you can't do on the Sabbath. God gave them six or seven. They've added 32. And guess what one of the ones that was added was? You can't carry your bed. There's nothing in the law of Moses that says anything about picking up your mat on the Sabbath and walking around with it. Not one thing. They interpreted the idea of burden and work. Don't ask me how. I understand the burden kind of thing a little bit, but how much work is that, right? How heavy was the thing? Okay? So, there's a mighty miracle of God that's even stronger than the angel that everybody, I'm sure, knew about. The guy is all happy. He's down in the temple, but he's carrying his mat. So these guys wind up having a big problem with Jesus. And when he said, my Father works and I work, now they want to kill him. Selah. 39 things. That's just kind of how things work. We could talk about our country. Think of all of the laws we started with and all the ones we have now. Yeah. Okay? The church is no different. What the church started off with was very few things. Year after year after year after year after year for centuries, stuff keeps getting piled on, and pretty soon the people in the pews don't know which one was the tradition of men as opposed to which one is the word of God, because you're being instructed in these things. A lot of this, if you were here last week, if you read the Monday Morning High, then you saw the progression of what went on. So to get here, one of the statements that I wrote in the Monday Morning High said this. It said the church doctrine, a lot of church doctrine, is often not congruent with and sometimes is even in contradiction to the Word of God. And I've been meditating on that. We could be here all afternoon. Julie could testify. She's been trying to get me down from among the rafters for the last few days because I get, the word is actually incensed. It's a combination of anger and sadness at the same time, because exactly what Paul wrote is true. Many of these things cause the word of God to be ineffective. They have a form of godliness, but they're neglecting the power because there's too much stuff there that you can just do in the flesh, so much so that you begin to think that because you're doing those things, it's, quote, spiritual. Okay? We're going to walk through a couple. And I'm confident there'll be at least some raised eyebrows. Okay? But just, in fact, I was having a conversation with someone yesterday who mentioned the opinion, I think it was actually on social media, that which is not new, that Jubilee is a cult. And I said, that's kind of funny because if you use the word cult accurately, Christianity is a cult because it means that you follow after the leading, the instruction of a particular man who is kind of, quote, glorified. He is the head of everything. I said, I got no problem with that at all, but I said the way we use cult means somebody else tells you what to do and how to do it, and you're supposed to obey what they say, right? Because of your, quote, faith. I said, we don't have that problem. It's humor, y'all can laugh, it's okay. I'll tell you what I believe the Word of God says, and I'll try to be as accurate as possible. What you do with it is not my business. The idea that somebody's going to tell you who you can marry and when you can marry and what you're going to do about your marriage and all that, I mean, there's so much stuff out there that it is utterly amazing. Anyway, let's hit a few of the ones that nobody would disagree with the idea that they're very important and should be universally so within, quote, the church, the body of Christ worldwide, okay? The first one is baptism. Baptism. Think about baptism. It's a simple enough ordinance. Ordinance means you're observing it, right? We went through that a couple of weeks ago, okay? Something you're supposed to observe. It was instituted, remember that, I don't remember exactly where it was. They said that the Pharisees found out that Jesus was baptizing more people than John, but Jesus wasn't actually baptizing anybody, but his disciples were. I've always found that very curious. Jesus didn't baptize anybody, okay? Do what?
He had a different
baptism to baptize. Well, we're going to get there. That's true. And Jesus submitted himself to John. Remember, John said, I can't do this. And Jesus said, it's the right thing to do. Allow it to be so. And so John baptized Jesus. And when he did, the Holy Ghost came, descended like a dove upon him and remained. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, right? So that's pretty powerful. Baptism, from day one, the day that the church was, quote, born, as far as all the people out there, what happened in the upper room with 120, but then Peter preached, and then there were 3,000 people that received. They said, what shall we do? And Peter said, well, change your mind about what you're doing. Accept Jesus as the Messiah and be baptized, right? So it's there, right? Okay. But as you go through the flavors around the world,